Hello, my name is Alan, and I'll be doing our reading for us today. Please take some time to find your Bible so we can read together. Today's reading is from Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name's Richard. As John Donne wrote in his famous poem, Devotions in an Emergent Occasion, written in 1624, no person is an island. God has made us uniquely and wonderfully for relationship. The Christian belief is that we find our fullness in being in relationship with God and with others. Life is to be lived in a community of mutuality. We care. We encourage, we enjoy, we collaborate and support others in the daily rhythm of our days. And this builds and nurtures good society in which we can flourish. And in this good society, we value predictability in our everyday situation. This, I think, is one of the reasons why, as we enter the 11th week of lockdown, many people are perhaps understandably feeling low and anxious. Our world has become very small, insular and uncertain. Our freedom has been restricted, and this has affected our freedom and sense of fullness in life. And so we're lamenting the past, living in an uncertain present and facing an uncertain future. We know and want things to improve, to change. We want to return to the freedom that we once enjoyed. We acknowledge that we do need to move on from lockdown. But let's be honest. We're anxious about how we can walk onwards to what is ahead, wondering how we can get there and what the there of the future will be like after lockdown. And although we are loved and accompanied by a sovereign and loving God, I know that some Christians are feeling isolated and shaky in their faith. Yes, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, in our heads and in our hearts. But maybe, we're finding it tough to allow our faith to infuse every aspect of our being and so to live well each day. I understand. I feel the same way. But this is okay. How you may be feeling is how followers of Jesus have felt in uncertain and frightening times in the past. The good news, the reassuring news, as we look back to their experiences, we can find the help and the strength to walk onwards today, one step at a time, knowing, truly knowing, that God is with us and for us. This is the purpose of our new teaching series that begins today. Each week, we'll consider a psalm that will help us to experience and live in God's loving presence through each day and each night. The psalms are important because they help us to name reality so that we can live well within it. The Psalms both recognize and address both the subjective reality of our own interior world and the objective reality of the kingdom of God. So the Psalms are relevant and powerful. Remember also that Jesus Christ knew and read the Psalms. They nourished his daily walk of faith, and they will nourish our journey of faith as well. So today, we're considering Psalm 121. 8 verses full of deep and rich, practical application for all of us today. To enable us to get the most from this passage, we need to set it in context. Back in secondary school, I was an enthusiastic member of the Air Cadets Squadron. Several times a year we go out on manoeuvres, and as we marched we sang our own songs, several admittedly with rather fruity lyrics. These marching songs designated our identity, built our sense of community, kept our spirits up, and helped us to march onwards together in time to our objective. Psalm 121 is one of 15 psalms described as psalms of ascent. In Hebrew, the word that we translate as ascent refers to going up a mountain by marching. It is thought that when Psalm 121 originates from the actual experiences of a group of Jewish pilgrims as they returned to Jerusalem following exile in Babylon around 539 BC, and then it was taken up and sung by all the pilgrims every year afterwards. And Psalm 121 is therefore called the Travellers or Pilgrim Psalm. It was a psalm, you see, sung by the people of God as they made their annual journey, as they marched towards God from their homes in their towns and villages to worship God together as one people in the Temple of Jerusalem, the capital city where God dwelt in his temple. The people of God marched together up to Jerusalem because Jerusalem was built on a hill for strategic reasons. And the temple of God, where God dwelt in the Holy of Holies, was built on the highest point in the city, which everyone could see from a distance. And this psalm expresses the pilgrims' faith in God. And it also reveals their unease about their journey. And this resonates with us today. The metaphor of journey is frequently applied to the Christian faith. As disciples, as apprentices of Jesus, we are pilgrims today on a personal and communal journey with and to God. Following a long and difficult journey on foot, these people of God are approaching their final destination, Jerusalem, only to see a final range of mountains blocking their way. To reach the rest, the peace, security and joy of being united with loved ones and their God, worshipping together, they're going to have to cross these mountains. The way ahead appears daunting, and the only route is then going to be on a path with a steep drop on one side. What's more, night's falling, and these weary pilgrims are carrying money and presents, and so they're fearful of attack from marauding thieves who are known to be in the area. Remember that in biblical times, a person's world was geographically and relationally very small. Travel was physically and emotionally demanding and dangerous. People walked on foot in the glare and heat of the sun, and they were always fearful of attack from these marauding bands of robbers. There were no safe and direct tarmac roads. There were no streetlights. There were no police cars, Starbucks or travel lodges. And these pilgrims have been walking for weeks, and so they're now tired, fearful and wondering, how can we carry on? Is it really worth it? As the early evening light falls, these exhausted pilgrims stop and they look up above these seemingly impassable mountains that are protecting Jerusalem to the sky above. And we need to pause here. You see, in ancient times, mountains were a place of safety. The pilgrims want to be safe, resting on a mountain, high above everyone else, able to see everyone and everything around them. This is why in Scripture, for example, in the prophet Amos, God is often described as the one, and I quote, who forms the mountains, who treads on the height of the earth, end quote. Amos 4, verse 13, if you're interested. Mountains were places of refuge and security, as well as places where God had a habit of showing up for significant reasons before his people. Back to these weary pilgrims. As they look forwards at these seemingly impassable mountains with the steep journey that follows afterwards, they see that they need to climb the mountains And as they look up at these mountains, they would have seen statues on top of each mountain. These were statues to the pagan deities that the occupying Romans had placed on the hills surrounding the city. These man-made idols were the gods that the Romans exalted and that they believed would protect them and bless them as they went about the rhythm of their days in the city. Here's some application. As we journey through our lives, I wonder what we exalt and place on a mountain surrounding our lives today. What and who we revere will help us to navigate the unpredictability of our days. Do we exalt and revere our family? Perhaps our finances? We're concerned about our savings, our share portfolio with the market fluctuations. We're worried about our pension pot. We may revere our house. Perhaps we may own more than one home or even more than one car. Perhaps we revere our lifestyle. We're devoted to exercise or a hobby, perhaps our work as well. Please don't get me wrong. These can be good things, and most of them are in themselves. But we need to be honest and careful that we do not create idols that take us away from honouring and depending exclusively on our God who loves us and is with us. Back to the pilgrims. As dust falls, as they look above the mountains covered with idols to the sky above, they are able to put their situation in perspective. Gazing at the heavens above the mountains, they ask the God who created and sustains all of creation and who loves them to help them. Looking at the path ahead, the pilgrims were fearful of losing their footing and slipping and tumbling. Secondly, they're weary and they need to sleep under the stars, and this would be dangerous. And they're also worried, as verses 5 and 6 reveal, of the acute danger of sunstroke, an attack from these thieves at night in the moonlight. There was this phrase that there is danger in the moonlight. What do the pilgrims do? They name their fears before God. And then, having named their fears before God together, having looked up to and probably looked back to see how God has been with them in their journey thus far, they choose to exercise faith in God. They declare that God cares and watches over every pilgrim all of the time. He does not slumber or sleep. God is interested, attentive and active with and for his people, and he is sovereign. He is the Lord of all. And so with the help of God, the pilgrims realize that they can continue their journey. And so the psalmist declares, verse 2, "My help will come from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And then we have this reference to Israel, the people of God, in verse 4. This is important. It reminds us that the Christian faith is communal and that God cares for all people in every place and every time. As that 1970s song goes, he's got the whole world in his hands. And God is working out his salvation plan with each one of us as his beloved participants. And this now explains verse 7. As scripture and as Jesus taught and experienced, pilgrims, disciples, apprentices of Jesus live in the world, and we're not immune from the harm of living in a broken world. But God is present and with believers every day in every way. And our ultimate destination, journey's end, life with Christ as a new creation with all the saints after our physical death, is secure for the believer. Our eternal destiny with God is assured. And what's more, God is with us every step of our journey in the temporal mortal world. Disciples, apprentices of Jesus, are to live the life of Christ today and in eternity. And so these pilgrims give themselves to God. And as they do, they are strengthened in their faith and able to carry on one step at a time to journey's end to Jerusalem. What was true then remains true today. As we step into what lies ahead for us this week, as we take new steps, one step at a time, recognizing the challenges of our times, may the testimony of those early pilgrims in biblical times nourish our faith and encourage us. And then finally, these pilgrims journeyed together and supported each other in their journey. As they did, their friendships matured, as did their faith in God. So today, in the week ahead, recognizing the unpredictability of our times and the permanence of God's loving presence, and recognizing how we may be feeling, because we're human, let's choose to walk onwards together in faith, caring with and supporting each other, secure and dependent on our great and sovereign God. For God loves us and is with us, and he's for us and leading us out of the valley places where we find ourselves today. Let's trust him, honor him, and walk onwards together, sharing his love with those others we share our days with. Amen. I'd like to close by inviting us to pray. I'm going to pray now that you may know God's presence, wisdom, and help more fully, and that you may be able to walk onwards with greater confidence and with others in the week ahead. So would you bow your heads and allow me to pray for us. Faithful and loving God, Lord of all time and space, we thank you for your sovereignty, your compassion, your presence, and the purposes and delight that you have in us. Lord, I pray that you will fill each one of us afresh with more of your presence. Give us, Lord, a greater confidence and dependency on you. And as we walk onwards from this day, may we abide more fully in your love, and share that love with others as we walk onwards together. Amen.